Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
Impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Wells.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Hello and welcome back. It's hour three of In This League on FNTSY. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. I'm joined by Casey Bubba. This is the point in the podcast. If you're a Casey Bubba fan and you're just listening to this to get Casey's picks, all 3 hours this week with Casey Bubba. So if you want picks, you're going to have to scroll back. We spent the first hour kind of reviewing and talking about the action from last week. Hour two was going over our picks for this week and how we see the games playing out. And now in this segment here, I want to talk about DFS lineups, Bubba, because you have your own DFS show on Fantrax, and you're kind of an expert when it comes to setting DFS lineups, right? Come on.
Yeah, it's a big word, the big E. I am knowledgeable in the ways to do things is the way I will describe it.
How about we say this? Compared to me, you are an expert.
Yes, so, again, we're setting the bar high. Right. So yes.
Sometimes I'm really mad that I can't do DFS in Arizona. Other times I'm like, thank God, because I feel like I would spend all my time lamenting my decisions and playing in tournaments and all this stuff. So the Welsh and I come on here every week. We try to put out what we think is a good FanDuel lineup and a good DraftKings lineup. Our guy Drew, Mr. Boom Shakalaka on Twitter, plays him for us. He hasn't been giving us the results recently. I'm just going to assume that they've been bad, which makes sense.
Or they've won all the monies and he's gone.
Yeah, maybe that's it too. But if that was it, maybe he'd be like, hey, give me that lineup again. Give me another lineup, like that.
Gotcha.
But I just think it probably hasn't gone very well. And we tell people, look, man, we're setting these lineups and we're giving you our thoughts on why we think they're good. But to be honest, some have been good. Most have been not good. Not good enough to win, the tournaments and stuff. So you tell me, is it wrong for us to... What's the main thing that people screw up when they're creating a lineup? What's, thing number one you see these noobs come in and do, and you're like, that's a noob move, and you're never going to win anything doing X. Is there a formula like that for this?
There's no, cut and dry formula, but some things you see a lot, as I get questions a lot and different things that I do, and there's no right or wrong reason. You'll see some weeks where, one of the Millie Maker winners last year stacked the Bears passing game, their running back, and their defense, things you never see done. Sometimes you got to get really weird, but sometimes people like to get too weird, and it works maybe once in a blue moon, but more often than not, you're just fooling yourself. That's one of the common things I see. I'm one of the more reserved players. I like playing with good floors. I'm a cash game type player that will play a GPP, if that makes sense, tournament to people. Where there's the tournament players that have the mentality of, we got to go for the ownership. We have to go for this, that, and the other. And they want to be as different as possible.
Right.
So I hope I'm trying to make sense to people. There's different ways to approach a lineup. And there's the ways where you can feel comfortable and you're good with just winning a little. Or there's the go for broke and get too weird. And sometimes getting too weird can get you in too much trouble. Because here's, I guess, bringing this all full circle. You can get different. But one thing people don't realize enough is they want to be different everywhere. If you look at a lot of the lineups, you could have chalk in two-thirds to three-quarters of your lineup. If you're just different enough in one or two positions, your lineup would be different enough to win a lot of money.
Right.
So that's one thing that people don't understand enough. They're like, oh, Christian McCaffrey's 45% owned. I can't own him. But you'll also lose if you don't own him. Right. So you have to be different elsewhere.
Yeah, and that's a great point to make is, sometimes – the chalk is chalk for a reason. It's because
there's
most
good chalk and there's bad chalk.
Yeah, good chalk and bad chalk. I only eat the good kind. So I call it Tums and I eat it after I have Mexican food. So,
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And like I said, I can't play. So, I mean, there was about a year period where I could play and I was just okay. Like I didn't pour hundreds of dollars into it in, you know, trying to hit a big tournament or anything. I would play, you know, like those cheap tournaments, whatever, $5, $10. And then I would play the bigger ones, like you said, the 50-50s, you know.
Yes.
That's what I would play and double up, you know. So, you know, I probably broke even. I lost some money when they had the big controversy and Arizona, I couldn't even get to my money. I had to give it to my buddy.
Oh, wow. That's pretty good stuff.
I couldn't pull it out. I couldn't get to the site. So I think they sent me enough of a warning and I just didn't do it because I'm dumb. So but yeah, I mean, I set these lineups this week and I'm curious to know if they're any good. But first, is it worth it to play those big tournaments? I mean, do you play, what's the most amount of money you would put into one tournament, like $20? And are you playing with all kinds of different lineups?
Well, here's the thing. It's hard to say just one number because it's a cliche is not the right word, but you hear it everywhere, at least if you're going to a responsible site. If you listen to the Fantrax DFS show, if you listen to any of my other DFS shows, I do another football, I do baseball, I do golf. We talk about it all the time, is you have that bankroll management. You get that in gambling, you get it in DFS.
Yeah.
That's the difference. Like if your budget's only $100, well, you're probably not playing $20. There's nothing wrong. This is one thing I'll tell people. I've seen, there's certain guys I follow on Twitter since I've been on Twitter that started out in like the 10 cents and the quarter arcades and now are playing in the big stuff. Cause those smaller entries, as much as it might, you know, you don't think you're winning a ton, you learn a lot. You learn how to do certain things and then you start winning a little bit. And next thing you know, your bankroll's bigger and you go and play bigger tournaments. So that would be my biggest suggestion there is you need to find what you want to do. And early on, if you're new to it, I'd put unless you have the go for broke mentality, if you're good with that, if you can afford to lose it, yeah, then go play what you want. But if you're trying to, like, you know, play for a certain amount of time, if you want to make, you know, have fun with this for a while and you don't have the biggest, you know, just slush fund for DFS, I'd say you go like 70% cash games, 30% GPPs or tournaments, because the cash games can keep you floating. And then you try to hit a tournament, stuff like that would be something I'd lean towards.
Now, a lot of people play multiple lineups. Is that something that you'll do in the tournaments? Like if you're playing, you know, like I know that the FanDuel runs, I believe they call it the Hail Mary one every single week. That's a quarter. DraftKings does the same deal, too. I think that's the one that our guy Drew plays for us. It's a cheap one. You don't want to waste our bad lineups on something good. So, I mean, will you play multiple lineups into those big tournaments and stuff like that?
What I like to do is, unless you plan on going crazy, and you can win with any lineup in any tournament, that's obvious stuff. It's just, it's game theory, and your chances are better when you have, you know, close to the same amount of bullets as everybody else. So what I try to do is I try to play three entry max tournaments, single entry tournaments, things along those lines, because it kind of evens the playing field. I don't mind the 20 max tournaments. That's what I think your 25 cent ones are that you're talking about. They have I know on DraftKings, they have the 150 max and the 20 max for 25 cents. And those are good ones because you can still try a handful of lineups. But for the most part, I play no more than three a week. I play like three tournaments and one cash game lineup. So I guess four total, but three tournaments, one cash game.
Okay. And that's, I like that you set specific numbers on it too. That's pretty cool. And that's kind of showing, you know, look, it doesn't kind of really matter what your bankroll is if you're hitting this number. You know what I mean? You just make it more expensive if you have a bigger bankroll. So I like that. Now, I put together a couple lineups here, and you tell me what I did wrong, because I kind of did the same thing. Like I said, I don't read anything. I don't, and that's, you know, I understand that's fairly ignorant, but I also don't like to, when I'm giving out these, I like to give them my perspective instead of, you know, saying, well, most people are playing X, Y, or Z, so I went with that. So my first lineup will go to DraftKings. I've got Kyler Murray as my quarterback. We talked about that, one of the highest over games of the year. Mark Ingram, who you said you don't like, and I understand that, but that's one of the last ranked rush defenses in the league in Cincinnati, and I think they could get up. Why would you run Lamar Jackson, you know, when you can run Mark Ingram? So I think in a game where you don't necessarily need Lamar Jackson, maybe you lean on your running back a little bit more. That's why I've got him in there. Once again, no offense, Marlon Mack against your Miami Dolphins defense should be a nice, huge game. My wideouts, I went cheap on two here and expensive on one. I went with Michael Thomas against Atlanta because they are horrid. And then I went with A.J. Brown because he's been playing better with Ryan Tannehill. Plus, we've got Kansas City, who should be winning in that game. They should be playing from behind in a big chunk of it. So I like his chances for garbage yards. We saw Josh Reynolds pop off with Brandon Cooks out. He is still out against Pittsburgh. Not the best matchup, but he's cheap at 3,800. I have him in at my wideout. My tight end is Mike Gesicki. Got fed the ball after Preston went out last week. Caught 6 of 6 targets, over 90 yards. I think he needs to be more involved. Golden Tate. In this Giants and Jets game, I have Golden Tate in there because Shepard's pretty much done for the year, it seems. Ingram is hurt, and he is the main target in New York now. And the Ravens defense because Ryan Finley is starting at quarterback for the Bengals. So what did I do right here, and what did I do wrong in this DraftKings lineup?
First question, this is most likely for tournaments, correct?
Yes. Yeah, this is the big 25 cents, gotcha. You know, when, and it's the Sunday to Monday, obviously, campaign that I have going here, too.
Okay. A couple things. What I would suggest, you can always do Kyler Murray because he's got the running floor. You can run him naked, which is a term. I would prefer to put him with for tournaments, you want to stack.
Okay.
Something more often than not. So I would try to get Christian Kirk, who's $5,200. So I'm going to play with your lineup here a little bit.
All right.
I'm going to take Tate out of the flex for now. I'm going to take Brown and Reynolds out. This is one thing I always tell anybody that asks me questions in the chats, and you can come join my chats anywhere. I have a free Slack chat. I'm in there all the time. And then I have chats for other things that you have to go pay to be a part of, but I help with whatever. And, I never tell someone they can't play someone. If you like a guy and you can justify it, I'm not going to tell you no. Michael Thomas, how in love are you with Michael Thomas?
I'm not super in love. I just thought he was a good play because Atlanta's defense is terrible.
Well, he's a great play. What I'm going to suggest between Thomas, Mack, and Ingram, we need to save some money here. So which one of those three can I move off of?
Let's move off of Mack.
Okay, we'll move off of Mack. Now let's find a running back that's a little cheaper that you can still do well with. You know, you got like Derrick Henry, 64. You've got Montgomery. There you go. Montgomery and Singletary are two guys that are very, very big on my list this week.
Let's go Montgomery.
How about we put Montgomery in your flex right now?
Okay.
Let's do this because this will give us some more wiggle room. Another thing I will tell people is if you're going to punt, like people like to get cute at times with certain deals and punt running backs, which certain weeks, like last week, Jalen Samuels was $4,000. You have to play him. That's a no-brainer. You play him. But there's other weeks that if you're going to punt, I prefer to punt at wide receiver because the variance is so much bigger there. Like running backs, you need the volume, where wide receivers, like we saw Noah Fant at tight end go 3 for 115 and a score. That's game changing. Receivers have that ability. Last week in Williams for the Chargers had 3 for 111 or something. That's big boy stuff. Back to your lineup. We have $10,700 for two positions, so $5,350. I mentioned we want to stack. So we're going to get Christian Kirk in there with Murray at $5,200. Okay. My last thing I'm going to mention, because we got $5,500 left here. Do you want, or how in love with you are you with the Ravens? Because one thing I'll mention, paying up for defense in cash, I am all for it. In tournaments, I like to get a little different if we can. If you love the Ravens, I don't blame you. Your logic behind it is perfect. But we can save money here and increase one of your positions.
I tell you what, if you want to get rid of the Ravens, I'd prefer to go to like the Rams against the Steelers.
Okay, so that was my next thing, because what I'm going to say here now is I did like the Ravens for the fact it correlates with, because one of the stacks people don't talk about, so we're going to stack your receiver and your quarterback. Stacking a running back and a defense correlates very well, because if the defense is playing well, you run the ball more often than not. So are you interested in potentially the Buffalo or the Detroit or the Chicago defense?
Definitely not Chicago. So,
okay. You don't have to use Buffalo, but I'm just saying if you want to go to, you mentioned the Rams, we can do Rams if you want, if you're good with that. Cause you 3,000, that saves you $1,000. That's not bad actually.
Okay. Let's go with the Rams then. I like that. Okay. It's Mason Rudolph. So coming off a bye too.
Now we're at $6,500 at wide receiver. This gets interesting. You can go with Allen Robinson, Michael Gallup. I'll let you pick this last guy here. There's a lot of interesting options here you can play with. We can go back to Golden Tate, and then we can upgrade somewhere else. We can go cheaper at wide receiver, more expensive at tight end if you want. This is just kind of the molding you can do with lineups. What's your – like, do you want to keep Gesicki or do you want to go higher?
Let's keep Tate. I liked having Tate in there. So I think I might have taken too much off here. So what does the lineup look like now that we added Tate?
You got Murray at quarterback. You have Ingram, Singletary at running back. You have Thomas, Kirk, Tate at receiver, Gesicki at tight end, Montgomery at flex, Rams at DST. With $600 left, if you want to go up to the Niners or the Colts at 35 would be a good one.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's do the Colts.
So there's your lineup. Do you have that in front of you?
So let me just get the who do we pick here? The Colts. So Kyler Murray, Mark Ingram, Devin Singletary, Christian Kirk, Golden Tate, Michael Thomas, Gesicki, David Montgomery, and the Colts defense. I like it.
Now, if you want, we could do the running back defense and go Mac and the Colts, unless you really, really want Ingram.
I feel like I like Ingram.
Okay, that's fine. Like I said, I'm never going to talk someone off their guys. So I think this lineup's good. I think it's better than what we started with.
Okay. And, I'm not the biggest fan of Christian Kirk, mainly because he's an Aggie. But let me just look at
it's strictly on correlation. That's all this is.
Let's see. Yeah, I don't know that there's anyone else I would play over him here. I got $100 so I could go up to DJ Moore against Green Bay. I don't know that that's the greatest matchup. Marquise Brown is too hit or miss.
You could go to Pascal. He's 5,300.
Pascal. Yeah, Pascal might not be bad with T.Y. Hilton down. I think I might rather do that, but I get the stack. I get the stack play. If I'm going with Murray, who can run, but you also want one of his targets. So I'm into it. But we gotta hit a break here. On the other side, in the second segment here, we're going to talk about FanDuel lineups, maybe get the difference between FanDuel and DraftKings, and toy with my lineup in that as well, and then talk a little bit of baseball. So stick with us. We'll be right back. It's In This League on FNTSY.
NFL season is now upon us, and you can become the eighth person to win $1 million in a FanDuel or DraftKings tournament by setting their lineups using the DailyRoto.com DFS Lineup Optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy sports and not using DailyRoto.com, you're doing it wrong. Sign up now for the NFL access with a faster optimizer, smarter DFS projections, and better results. Enter promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. DailyRoto.com, where millionaires are made.
Yeah, man, I tell you what, that dang old
In This League.
Talk about www.com, you made it go click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
I don't know what you're saying, but that's what's going on, yeah.
Welcome back. It's hour two of In This League on FNTSY. I'm joined by my friendo, KC Bubba. You can find him on Twitter at BDentric. KC, tell people about all your podcasts again. Just plug and plug and plug away. Let's go.
The new one we got going, and it goes with these segments very well, is the Fantrax DFS show, doing the weekly DraftKings action for you. We did week 10 this week with John and Pimba of Fantasy Alarm joined us this week. Always have a nice industry guest to help break it all down. I have the Bench with Bubba podcast, doing that 2 to 3 times a week. That's been a blast, doing fantasy baseball and fantasy football. I have the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast. I have the 2-Point Conversion NFL DFS podcast. I have the MLB DFS Quick Hits during MLB season, and there's probably something I'm forgetting there. But always something going on, plus the website fantasysportsdegens.com. Tons of great content that keeps coming out over there.
And if we're just doing last plugs here, just so everybody knows, InThisLeague.com is my website where me and the Welsh do baseball, football, basketball, minor league baseball, college football. We do all the stuff and things. I've got Hardwood Takeaways right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. That's in podcast edition too, so you can check that out. Hardwood Takeaways, where I talk about the NBA, me and the Welsh, every single day after the games, Monday through Friday. And I've got, we just fired up the baseball podcast back again, the Welsh and I. We're We're doing mini pods for player debates instead of the book this year. So if you guys are into that, check that out. And like I said before, Casey is on with me for 3 hours today instead of the Welsh, because the Welsh is celebrating his anniversary. So no Welsh this week. So if you are looking for the games, which is what we usually do in the third hour, hours one and two got you covered with taking a look at all the games for the action last week and this week. So right now we're toying around with my DFS lineups, and I'm learning here because I can't play DFS anyway, so I don't get too hardcore into the minutia of how to set up lineups for a cash game versus a GPP and what is chalk and what isn't. You know, Welsh and I just kind of have fun with it. We go through, we pick a lineup, it usually sucks, and then we laugh at each other the next week. But I'm trying to take it a little more seriously for this week because I have an expert here in Casey Bubba. So we talked about DraftKings and we fixed my lineup there. You talked about stacks. We're probably going to do that again on FanDuel, but are there differences in FanDuel and DraftKings? Because the one that I have noticed that is the biggest one so far is you have to buy an expensive quarterback in DraftKings. There's just, it's pretty much every single starter is above the average line, so you might as well buy on a quarterback anyway every single week.
Yeah, there's a couple of things, and the pricing is always one of them. When the season started, DraftKings was super soft, where you could find values at quarterback and everything. But like this week, talked about it on the Fantrax DFS show, it's the quarterbacks you want, the ones you feel more comfortable with, are like $6,400 and above.
Right.
So you are spending up. Then you can take your chances on a Ryan Tannehill or a Darnold if you want, but you're taking big gambles there. Where in FanDuel, you can kind of fluctuate things around more. Usually I find FanDuel's pricing when I help people with their lineups to be a little softer to me. Like certain guys stand out of like, oh wow, that's value. Like you have Calvin Ridley in your lineup at $5,300 on FanDuel, where he's I think 55 on DraftKings. They're usually not that close together because there's different scoring systems. So that's like, you can find cool little systems like that that show you where on one side a guy might be value, on another side he might not be. Like little things like that. I do work at the Quant Edge. I'm not going to plug everything I do, but I do work over there and they have awesome tools like that, that literally a page pops up and it'll show you prices for the same player on different sites. And it kind of gives you ideas on things like that. So it's really interesting when you see that. And the biggest thing for me is pricing is one thing, because if you do your work, you can figure out the values and who you need to pay for and who you don't. But the scoring setup, I like DraftKings. I play pretty much all DraftKings because I like PPR football. And that's pretty much what it is. It's like, you know, 4-point passing touchdowns, 6-point other touchdowns, PPR, you get bonuses for 100 yards, all that good stuff. Where FanDuel's half-point PPR, and you can definitely see the difference there. So, like, when you're building lineups on FanDuel, is you want those workhorse backs. Like, where I was telling you on DraftKings, Mark Ingram wasn't as strong. Well, on FanDuel, he's great because Wow. You're relying on him to carry the rock. And, Marlon Mack is even better on FanDuel this week than he is on DraftKings because he's going to pound the rock. Things like that is where you differentiate these two things.
Now, my lineup that I have for FanDuel here, and like I said before, once again, not too much stacking going on. So, you know, I like to get the same game because I like the over in it. I don't know if that is a strategy at all that you employ, or if it's more of a just use the guys from the same team, that kind of stack. But I'm going the opposite side on quarterback that I did in DraftKings. I'm going with Jameis Winston over here. He's at 7,900. I double dipped. I got Mark Ingram, and I unintentionally double dipped because when we switched, we have Montgomery in the lineup for DraftKings now, but I have him over here on FanDuel too at 6,400. My wideouts are Michael Thomas at 8,700, Cooper Kupp at 8,100. Think he's going to have a huge game against my Steelers. Like you said, Calvin Ridley, very cheap, 5,300 on FanDuel. So I have him. My last three, I think, are the ones you might take the most objection with, because I went expensive again on my defense with the Ravens at 5,000. I went Larry at 5,400 because I feel like he's going to get right at some point and he's cheap. And then Jacob Hollister scored the 2 touchdowns for Seattle. I just think that maybe they're going to look to him a little bit more. I know San Francisco is last at giving up points to the tight end, but Seattle uses the tight end, and Hollister caught 2 touchdowns. He's cheap at 4,900, so I kind of like him too. So what would we start fixing with this squad?
And when you mentioned stacking up things, you can do game stacks where you play both sides of the game. You can do just one side stacks. Depends on what you're looking at. We watch game totals, team totals, and you're looking at Arizona, Tampa Bay, like we talked about early on in the show. That is one of the highest totals on the slate. So that'll be a good one. Atlanta, New Orleans, your Ridley ownership should be another popular. You got Ridley and Thomas. So what I'm going to say is you have Ridley and Thomas already. What's your thoughts on making Matt Ryan your quarterback?
I like Matt Ryan. He's just a little banged up. So I would love watching him more than I would love watching Jameis Winston. I can tell you that much.
Okay, let's put Matty Ice in here. He's going to save you $400. And now you have a mini game stack here with Matt Ryan, Michael Thomas, and Calvin Ridley. We're going to take Larry Fitzgerald out of your flex for now. We're going to play with that for a minute. And for now, I want to get back to Baltimore, but I'm going to take them out just to see for financial reasons at this point in time. I'm going to leave Jacob Hollister in there for now because I like the idea of what you're building there.
Okay.
I want to see how much. Okay, Julio's 7,900. I'm going to put him in your flex for a second because I just want to see something. But how much money does that leave us for defense? That's not going to be good. Yeah, that's not good at all. That leaves you with the Falcons defense. Okay, so that's not good. I was trying. Like, I want to leave you Cooper Kupp because you like him a lot. I would have put Julio where Cooper is.
That's okay. Let's do that then.
Okay, so we're going to do that. I'm going to put Julio where Cooper is. That'll allow us to do a couple more things here because this is where the stacking I want to talk about. If you think a game is going to go off, then you want multiple pieces. So you have two receivers to go with your Matt Ryan, but you're bringing it back with one of the top playmakers on New Orleans with Michael Thomas. So if this game, like we talked about in hour two, goes over the way we think it's going to go over and Atlanta keeps it within 13, on paper, you have a lot going. The biggest thing I tell people is you need to paint a picture in your head of how you think a game goes. And I've talked about that a lot since I've been with you on the show when I kind of pick my over-unders and stuff. Right. You have to have a picture of how you think the game goes, not just the score. How does it get there? And that's something – because you can't predict how these games go. So
let me ask you this because I like the reason I'm going Julio or Michael Thomas over Julio in a game like this for the most part is because I think Julio is going to get Marcus Lattimore. And okay. That probably doesn't matter as much as I make it out to be. But I think maybe sometimes even when I'm making these lineups, I get in my own head a little bit. And that's why I didn't put Julio in initially. Do you have any reservations about going up against a good cornerback?
Yes, sometimes that matters. I usually side with the offensive guy. If he's as good as he thinks he is, we'll be okay.
Okay.
Let me ask you this. We could keep Kupp in there. And then at your utility, Russell Gage took over the Mohamed Sanu role with Schaub. Do you think he keeps it with Ryan?
I can't believe that someone else brought up Russell Gage in a conversation.
We talked about him on the FanTrack show and other ones. On DraftKings, he's $3,400, and I think he's almost a must-play at certain points. But if you put him in your stack here, you can keep Cooper Kupp. You put Gage in at flex. And, oh, look at that. You can still afford your Baltimore Ravens, and you have $1,400 left. If you want to just take David Montgomery out for fun, you can get up to an Aaron Jones, a Marlon Mack. Marlon Mack is phenomenal in this format.
I like
You can leave $400 on the table, and you have one a heck of a lineup. Let's just for funsies see what you got at tight end here. This is so much fun playing with your lineup like this. You can keep our boy from Seattle, Hollister, if you want, or you can get up to a Gesicki, a Doyle, a Griffin. We'll let you keep your Hollister here and just leave the $400 on the table. But what's your thought on that lineup?
So give it to me one more time. I got Ryan, Ingram. We're going with
Marlon Mack.
Let me just do it as we're going also so I can see the whole thing. Then Michael Thomas, Cooper Kupp, Calvin Ridley, right?
Yep.
Hollister, and then who's the flex here? Is this Gage?
This is Russell Gage.
Gage, all right. How much is Gage?
$4,700.
Okay. I just want to look at the 4,700s to see if there's anyone else I like here. But I really like this lineup because it's almost, I mean, we're almost kind of punting that flex spot with Gage. But if he does anything,
and he goes with your game stack.
Right. He goes with the game stack. And if he does anything, we're in the bonus there.
And he allows you to get two elite running backs, one that goes with your defense, which is an elite defense. It allows you to get Cooper Kupp. Like, it opens up a lot.
Man, I mean, the only other guy I think I would consider playing is maybe Deontay Johnson, but I really don't like the Steelers playing against the Rams coming off a bye week. So, God, this is garbage down here. Some of these guys. I mean, if Bell doesn't play, Ty Montgomery might not be a bad play.
That's an option as well. Too. Yeah. So, and that's one thing I tell all my listeners is on the Fantrax DFS show, myself and the guest always build a cash lineup at the end. And we always say you're going to pivot off of some of these guys once news comes out. But this gives you a base to get started. You have a very good base right here to get started.
All right. So the final here is we're going Matt Ryan, Mark Ingram, Marlon Mack, Michael Thomas, Cooper Kupp, Calvin Ridley, Jacob Hollister, Russell Gage, and the Ravens defense. I like it.
I'm digging it.
All right. So you hear that, Drew? Drew usually makes the lineup. So he's probably like, Jesus. He usually just listens. But so we got that. And then I'll read off the DraftKings again in case Drew didn't get it. Kyler Murray, Mark Ingram, Devin Singletary, Christian Kirk, Golden Tate, Michael Thomas, Mike Gesicki, and David Montgomery with the Colts defense going in that one. Now, are there any suggestions, any plays in a cash game that you like this week for DFS? Maybe give some plays away that you have this week.
For cash games, I'll stick with DraftKings here. But again, if you ever have any questions, I'm on Twitter or in the Slack chats. You can come and find me in those mean streets and I'll help you out. But for quarterback, I really think it's a week you can pay up for Lamar Jackson. His floor is so insanely safe that he's going to be huge. Cash, you want a good floor. He's going to give you that. At the running back position, Singletary, Montgomery are two very affordable running backs. And, of course, Run CMC is a great one in cash. At the wide receiver position, I think Gage is so cheap at $3,400. He just does anything, you're golden. And it opens up the ability to play CMC and other options. I think guys like you mentioned Golden Tate. We mentioned guys like David Moore, Pascal, Landry. A lot of just volume guys that are good for cash because of their floor are good there. And then a tight end, I love Mike Gesicki. He saves you a lot of money. I almost built you a lineup right there. So
I love it.
Yeah, there's a lot of good cash stuff.
Now, moving off of football, because I know what you really want to talk about is the pitcher's list mock. And we're both doing it right now. Welsh very upset. He's not doing it. So, but, you know, Nick hit me up. I'm the guy for Nick because he accidentally called me Steve last year. So I get attention from Nick. It's kind of easy. But before we get into that, we'll talk about that in the last segment of hour three here of the show. Alex Anthopoulos this week. I don't know what the hell he was thinking. I'll just read you off his quote that got him in some hot water here. Every day you get information, and we've had time to connect with 27 of the clubs, obviously the Astros and Nationals being in the World Series. They were tied up. But we had a chance to get a sense of what the other clubs are going to look to do in free agency, who might be available in trades. And that, my friends, is tampering, because you're not allowed to talk about free agents with other teams or who they might cut or any of that nonsense before free agency has become official. So, and this was a quote taken before the end of the World Series. So just kind of a dumb statement of all. I don't think that he did anything necessarily terrible, but just a really idiotic statement to make, right?
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. He's just an idiot. There's nothing wrong there. Everybody does it. Like, for crying out loud, I know there'll be free agents here pretty soon, but they're all going to go to the winter meetings and hang out. You think these guys don't talk to each other during the season and say, you know, code words maybe or something and see what they can get from people? It's silly that it's come to this. I guess it is in the rules. You see the NBA guys do it all the time. At least wasn't LeBron taking all the guys out to dinner and having so much fun with all that? So we see it everywhere, but this was just just darn right laughable.
Well, yeah, and the NBA is even worse because they're just like willy nilly about, nah, you're getting fined now. You mentioned a player before he's free agent. You're getting fined. That's it for you. So it's just getting crazy with all that stuff. But I just thought it was interesting that he made these comments. And then, David O'Brien said this. He said, union official office called me to ask about Alex's quote. I told them I didn't think it indicated anything other than the Braves trying to see what other teams were pursuing in free agency in order to discern who might be available in a trade. Union made a big deal of it anyway, way overblown in my opinion. And Tony Clark, who's head of the union, complained about this. And Alex Anthopoulos had to have a statement. And he said, in advance of the general manager's meetings, I called around to clubs to explore the possibility of potential offseason trades. At no time during any of these calls was there discussion of individual free agents or the Braves' intentions with respect to the free agent market. To the extent I indicated otherwise during my media availability on Monday, I misspoke and apologize for any confusion. So it's just kind of dumb. Like, these are dumb rules that they have set up in baseball. And this is another example of baseball being no fun. Just talk about whoever you want to all year long. Everybody has the same rules at that point, and you don't have to force anything because there's nothing to enforce. It's just kind of dumb.
It's so bad. It's so simple and so like not important. No one got signed anything. They didn't go wine and dine anybody. Like, get over it already and move on. You think these guys aren't talking to their agents? Like, come on. Right. That's how they're all doing this.
I'm going to have Hugh Freeze run all the stuff for me. That's what I'm going to do. So I like the way he pays off his players. So, but that is going to be it for segment two of hour three. We're coming back with the last segment of the show. We're going to talk about the pitchers list mock. It's going to be so much fun. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? SportsGrid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, SportsGrid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
In this league.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends with the...
In this league.
In the dark.
It's the final segment of In This League on FNTSY. It's myself. It's Casey Bubba. You can find us on Twitter at Bogdan Sports, at BDNTrick. And for this last segment, we're going to talk about the pitchers list mock that our buddy Nick Pollock, who owns pitchers list, set up. All these mocks, I believe he set up three. He did three earlier. You're in mock two, right?
Mock two, yes. I'm not quite good enough for mock three, so I'm mock two. It goes with my speed.
Yeah, well, I'm in mock three, so clearly I'm in the wrong one. So, I mean, there are some fit guys in here, and then there's me and Mason. So, but
balancing things out.
That's right. That's right. I got pick five. What pick did you get in yours?
I had pick three.
All right. So who was left? Who was the one that you took?
I was awarded Christian Yelich, and I was over the moon about it.
Yeah, Yelich went third in mine to Chamberlain. Pisapia somehow got the first pick and went.
That guy, I swear.
Pisapia, Bloomfield, Chamberlain, and Alex Fast, myself, Nick Mariano, Justin Mason, Yancey Eaton, Frank Stanfill, Al Melchior, Drew Silva, and Gray Albright. Who all is in yours?
I have Brent Hershey from Baseball HQ, Mike Gianella, myself, obviously, Jeff Zimmerman, Bobby Sylvester, Ian Kahn, Batflip Crazy, Ben Palmer, Chris Blessing, Heath Capps, Eric Cross, and Matty Modica.
Matty Mobot. Yeah, see, this is where I get boned being the local. Matty Mobot, Everybody Barbecue.
I saw that
at the pitcher's list or the pitcher's list, the first pitch Arizona from Baseball HQ. And I was at home. I wasn't around. I didn't have to stay in the hotel. So got bone on the free barbecue. But it's all right. Next time Matty Mo comes in, I'm sure he'll buy me some barbecue with no issues at all. But your first pick, you got Yelich. I picked five. It went Trout, Acuna, Yelich, Mookie Betts, I took Cody Bellinger at 5. So let's start there. Is Cody Bellinger number 5 to you, or who would you be going with at that 5 spot?
Yeah, I'm not a Bellinger guy. I know, maybe it's just a bias because I wasn't a Bellinger guy last year and it burned me. But at pick 5, I'm most likely going Trey Turner. I'm really a big Trey Turner fan, and those steals upside. I know what people are saying, some people are blowing it out of proportion because of the steal issues in 2019, but I think it's something that's really worth looking at. If you can get that solid base so early like that, it opens up the rest of your draft.
Yeah, and I think after the top 3, it's kind of whoever you want. I know that a lot of people have Mookie as that hard number 4 there. I'm with it, but I wouldn't be surprised if he fell past that. You know, Lindor is in there. A lot of people like Soto. Garrett Cole was the first pitcher to go in mine. He went at pick 8 to Yancey. Who was the first pitcher to go in yours?
He went at pick 7 to Batflip Crazy, Garrett Cole.
Man, 7. Batflip Crazy took a pitcher first. Come on, what are you doing?
Oh, he's a big pitcher guy. I recorded him a lot on Bench with Bubba. We have a Bubba and the Batflip done 12 episodes now, and he goes pitcher almost every draft.
Man, did he do it in this one too? Did he go
He went Cole Bieber.
Cole Bieber, man,
DeGrom, Bueller, Verlander, and Scherzer were all taken after Cole, so he went Bieber as the next pitcher off the board. He said he would take Garrett Cole number 1.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, that one blows my socks off a little bit.
That's a bit much for me, too. I mean, I had in my first round Story, Turner, Lindor, Soto, Arenado, and Bregman were the other first round picks. How'd the first round go for you?
It went Trout, Acuna, Yelich, Turner to Jeff Zimmerman at 4. They went Bellinger, Betts, Cole at 7, Story, Lindor, DeGrom at 9 or at 10, Soto and Bueller at 11.
Bueller didn't go till the third round.
Yeah, Arenado went, 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th. Arenado went 17th.
17th, and he went 11th in mine. Man, some crazy, and this is kind of the wild, wild west time of the draft. You don't get stuff set into stone until you get about, I don't know, 25 to 30 of these expert drafts all rattling around. You know, I know Smata does a great job of putting all of the stuff together in a nice, ADP list for us early in the season. So, you don't get a hard line. Now, in the second round, I took JD Martinez, and I lamented this decision because I thought about Fernando Tatis Jr., and he went the next pick after me to Alex Fast. And the reason I didn't take him was because of the back injuries coming off of. It's not because of production. I think the production is going to be there, but I'm worried that the first time we got a long look at him, he went out with a back injury and missed a big chunk of the year. He only played, I believe, just over 80 games this season. So if you were sitting looking down the barrel of I had Martinez, Tatis Jr., Mondesi, Marte, and then like Walker Bueller and Shane Bieber were on the board as well, who would you have gone with in that situation?
I would have gone Fernando Tatis. I took him with my second pick in round 3. JD went in round – or my second pick in round 2, I should say, at 2.10. JD Martinez didn't go – I passed on him in round 3. He went all the way with the 6th pick in round 3 in our draft.
What's wrong with JD Martinez?
I don't have anything against JD, I guess, per se. I'm just going, if I go Yelich, Fernando Tatis back-to-back, I don't need to worry about stolen bases pretty much the rest of the draft. It wasn't a for-sure thing. I'm a huge JD fan. I took him everywhere this year with the 6th pick in most of my drafts. But for some reason, he fell in this draft. Aaron Judge went before JD. I would have taken JD over Aaron Judge, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know. Like, yeah, he went down from 330 to 304 in batting average. He didn't cross 100 runs. He was at 98. 36 homers, 105 RBI, 383 OBP. He's just consistent. And I look for consistent power. And I think if I was in your situation, if whatever reason Yelich would have fell to me at 5, I would have taken another stolen base guy, because then at that point, like you mentioned, you're just kind of done. But yeah. I felt like JD was slipping just too far. So I felt like I had to stop. I felt like I was stopping the slide, and apparently I wasn't, because he went in the third round in yours. So you're starting out with Tatis and Yelich. Who was your third round pick?
I went to the mound and I picked up Mikey Clevinger.
Okay, Clevinger.
He was the eighth pitcher off the board, my first one. I took him right ahead of Chris Sale, who I just – the injuries are adding up for me, where I'm just getting scared of him at that price point. I think Clevinger can take that next step with a full season. I looked at guys like Jack Flaherty and Blake Snell, but I went Clevinger with my first pitcher.
Now, I went – I feel like I have been getting a little bit too in the weeds on my Giancarlo Stanton love. So I skipped him in the third round, and I took Jordan Alvarez, and he went the pick after me to Nick Mariano here. So Jordan Alvarez with the third pick. Is that too high? Where'd he go in yours?
No, that's not too high. I'm pretty sure – yeah, he went – I guess he went a little bit farther. He was late third round to Heath Capps. He went 3.10. I was actually surprised that Eric Cross didn't take him sooner. I know when we were doing the two early mocks about a month or so ahead of this with Mason and company, I believe Jordan Alvarez was a late first, early second in a lot of those drafts.
That's too high. But
yeah, that was right at the end of the season. The helium was way up.
Right, right, exactly. So I took Jordan. Shane Bieber went two picks after me at, what would that be, 3.7. So not a horrible pick there. Then coming back in the fourth round, I took Chris Sale.
And which I know, is fine at that point.
Right, right, which is Clevinger went one pick ahead of me. I was hoping that Snell was going to fall back, but Yancey took him, of course. I should have seen that coming. And then Jack Flaherty went to Mason, and then Clevinger. Mariano got me twice in this draft already. So, but this was the first one Clevinger went. I took Sale, and then Castillo and Kershaw and Corbin all went after me with Rizzo mixed in there. If you had the choice between Corbin, Kershaw, Castillo, and Sale, who are you going?
I would probably lean Castillo. I think there's more to come with him. But at that point, I can't fault you for Sale. A fourth round pick for a guy, if for somehow he does stay healthy, he's a former like back end first, early round second. You got a deal.
So you have at this point going into the fourth, you have Yelich, you have Fernando Tatis Jr., and you have Clevinger. Who's pick four?
Pick four was one that I didn't see myself taking, but the chips crumbled this way. I took Ketel Marte.
Ketel Marte. Don't you love all of those articles about how bad he's going to be this year and he's the downturn guy?
Yep. You know, everyone. Let's be obvious, people. He had a career season. If you have a career season, there's only one way to go. Yes, I'm aware of this. But he can still be very, very good and be close to those career numbers, which I believe in, because looking at your draft, Al Melchior took him in the third round, so I feel even better about my fourth round pick.
Yeah, I mean, look, if he had fell to me in the fourth, I would have absolutely taken him. So I think that's a great pick. Who did you follow him up with, Ketel Marte? And then you, round five, you're up before me here.
And in round five, I took one of my third basemen. I took Eugenio Suarez.
Oh!
I take him almost year after year. And oh, look who you took in round five.
Look at who I took in round five. Eugenio Suarez. That's right. We're Eskimo Suarez brothers. That's what we are right here.
I just looked at your team and we have another Eskimo coming up. So,
well, I love that pick, obviously. He's been high home runs 2 years in a row. And I think now I'm really dominating in power with Bellinger, JD Martinez, Jordan Alvarez, and Eugenio Suarez. I am dominant in power. The next one pissed me off so much. Mariano took Yu Darvish one pick ahead of me. Oh, I was on tilt. I was sitting there waiting for that pick, and you know, the little clicky draft noise that happens when I'm like, as long as he didn't take Yu Darvish, and it was Yu Darvish. So I took Zach Greinke. I was a little bit on tilt there, but I needed a pitcher to, you know, when you take a risk on Sale in the fourth, you got to make sure that you back up fairly quickly. So I went with Zach Greinke. You know, he's going to be pitching for the Astros. He's still really good. He was good in the World Series game, just not good enough. So I went with Greinke there. Who was your sixth round pick?
Yeah, this one's interesting. This is a guy that I pretty much clown on whenever I can, but it's one thing I always preach in drafting. If the value falls, you take the value. And with my sixth round pick, I went Noah Syndergaard.
I love it.
6.10. That's too far for me. Like, just, and the bad thing is, His three picks later was Yu Darvish. Thinking back, I almost should have went Yu, but Syndergaard's ceiling is just so good if he hits it.
Well, yeah, and Syndergaard went to Melchior earlier in the six, so I didn't even have a shot at him. So I was hoping between Syndergaard or Darvish, but Syndergaard went. And I was like, okay, that means Yu's still there. And then went Goldie, Pham, Albies, Darvish, and then Greinke for me. How about the seventh round? Who do you snap up in the seventh?
Here's our next Eskimo, and this player went in the fourth round in the first draft, and then in our draft, he both went in the seventh round. Luis Severino in the seventh round is just criminal to me. Boom. This is the ace of the Yankees staff, and yes, he was hurt this year. I expect him to be healthy next season, still super young. I think a seventh round Luis Severino is ridiculous.
You know, it was one of those things where I took Severino, and I was looking through the names, and it was like, oh man, I should have taken Severino over Greinke. Like that was my first thought. Because where did Greinke go in yours?
Greinke in mine went. He went at the end of round seven. He went after Severino. Then Glasnow went a few picks later, and then Greinke went at 7.11 to Eric Cross.
Okay, because I was thinking, man, maybe I should have taken Severino over Greinke, and I'm going to lament it because nothing had worked out for me here. And what a surprise in an expert's mock! You don't get things falling to you. Shock, yeah, exactly. There,
shocker.
But so I went Severino as well, and I was just happy that he fell to me. Alex Fast took the two pitchers in between were Berríos and Glasnow, which is fair. I think those guys are both great, but I'm with you. Severino is criminal. Coming back in the 8th, 9th, and 10th rounds, are you guys through 10? Have you made your 10th round pick already?
We are through 10. I am on the clock in round 11 right now.
Ah, okay. Well, let's do 8, 9, and 10 real quick. Then we can help you make your pick. In the 8th round, I took Luis Robert. I need stolen bases at this point. I think he's going to come in early. I think he's going to have a good year. I mean, Steamer already has him for a 2020 season. I think 28 and 23, something along those lines. He's going to make a big impact for the White Sox. I took him round 8. Round 9, I'm doubling down on stolen bases a little bit later. Tim Anderson led the AL in hitting, too. I don't know that that's going to continue, but he had a great season. Even with a downturn, I'm still getting stolen bases from him, which is what I want. And round 10, I homered out a little bit. Eduardo Escobar is still going to qualify at second base in most leagues. He played 30 games there. So I think that second base and third base eligibility for him is great, and I can put him in second, and I'm adding on to my power. That's how my 8, 9, and 10 worked out. How were your 8, 9, and 10?
My 8, 9, and 10, I went Nick Castellanos in round 8.
Love it.
I'm a big Castellanos fan. I hope he lands somewhere nice. The rumors of him going to the White Sox gets me giddy. Like, he'd be really good in that ballpark. And then in round 9, I thought I might have been reaching a little here, but like Jeff Zimmerman's been going after me. I always have like two guys I'm weighing, and it's either he takes it on the way back or he takes it right after me, the guy I didn't take. He's been doing it almost the entire draft. So I said, screw it. I'm taking my guy. In round 9, I took Michael Conforto.
Okay.
I'm a big Conforto fan. At this point, I'm getting a safety net with upside with Conforto, in my opinion. So
I can tell you with 100% certainty, if I had locked up stolen bases, that would have been a Conforto pick for me in round 9, 100%.
And that's kind of where I'm at. I got stolen bases on lock. I got a lot of power already. Now I'm going with a little bit of, power. Like, Castellanos has the average. Conforto's got the power. Starting to play that game now.
Yeah, you have to keep up with all the power that's around now. So
exactly. And then in round 10, I'm usually not a go pitcher early guy, and I've been starting to, like, I took Clevenger in round 3. I got Syndergaard and Severino. Usually if I had three guys like that, I'd be good. I took a fourth, and this one's really risky for me, but the potential to have Clevenger, Syndergaard, Severino, and David Price.
I've
clowned on Price a lot, but to have those four guys that are ones and twos in the rotation, they have low ratios with upsides for strikeouts, I'm a big fan of that starting point. I could be like blowing smoke, but I think there's a lot to like there.
I love it. And I'm a David Price guy. I've owned him every single year all over the place. So I let me down pretty good this year, but I took it round 11. I went and I took Edwin Diaz. Like, I need a closer. They're going. I'm expecting a bounce back. No way he has a 5 ERA again. So I went with Diaz. Maybe that's a bad pick. I don't know, but I need a closer. So you're on the clock now. Yep. You don't have any closers. You're not going that way, are you? Are you a wait on closers guy?
I usually am, but I preached it a lot last year that it's like you either need to go get two really good guys or you waste your fab all year on trying to fix your problem.
Right.
And that's always been my thing. And it varied from league to league with me. But I'm looking at closers, and I believe Josh Hader is the only one off the board right now in my league. Let me double check. I'll go back to the draft board.
Yates and Osuna and Chapman.
Only Hader's the only one off the board. He went to Mike Gianella at 9.2. So when I pull up the player ranks and I look at the relievers, I got Diaz, I got Trinan, I got Jansen, I got Chapman, so on and so forth down the list.
Yates.
Yeah, I'm thinking Kirby Yates is where I'm going here.
Gotta take Yates.
Yep, so Yates will be my pick at 11.3 in the second draft, and it is in.
And that's it. That's going to wrap up In This League on FNTSY. Casey, thanks so much for helping us with the Welsh Out. Remember, you can find us on the Twitter at Bogman Sports, at BDNTrick. We will see you guys next week. Hit us up with any questions that you have. Take it easy.